I'd like to call this meeting to order. Today is October 4th. It is 3:34 p.m. I'd like to ask the board members if they have any conflicts of interest to declare. Mr. Bill McCarter?
None.
Myself, I do not have any. Mr. Tim Heine?
No.
Mr. Rebel Jones?
None.
I will now do roll call. Mr. Bill McCarter?
Present.
Myself, Robert Fino, present. Mr. Heine?
Present.
Mr. Rebel Jones?
Present.
Okay. Ms. Candy Roll informed me she might be just a bit late. If she comes in, we'll add her to the roll. I'd like to have the chief lead us into the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moving down the agenda list, we have one item on the agenda. That's the presentation by Mr. Gomez with Buena Vista Plumbing concerning solar power for the Sunset Pierce Fire District. Discussion and possible vote will follow.
Okay. A lot of it is repeat from before. I brought your brand new book. Things changed a little bit. The biggest thing that changed is I ran across a new supplier which had much better pricing for me. I was able to lower the price for you. That's going to help a lot. And at the end, we got a financing package that shows everything, what it's going to, how it's going to work out for the next several years. I'll just go page by page. First page, this is just an artist's rendition. This is not exactly the one that's going to look like. Gives you an idea how it will be utilized. The next page is the actual kind of a engineering drawing from the factory I'm actually going to buy it from. The Schlatter factory is in Tucson. If any of you have been in Tucson, on the way out, you see a big building that says solar something. They actually, what they build is solar racking. They don't have any new solar panels or solar equipment. All they do is different types of racking, including canopies like this. And they're the people that I will be dealing with for this. The next one is our new supplier, which is Schuco, which is actually the largest solar panel manufacturer in the world. It's a German company. They manufacture these things in Germany, Canada, United States, and a few other places. And then so all the specs, and as it turns out, after checking their efficiency ratings, they're one of the highest rated solar panels in the world. And so the next few pages just talk about them. A lot of people ask me how strong are our panels. I like this picture right here. It shows four people standing on a collector. And I know when I've been working around them, I'm so touchy about even leaning on them, but obviously I don't have to be. The next page, a lot of this is repeat. I've showed you the generator that we're going to use. It's a Kohler generator. They're actually the leaders in generators for this type of application. And the one we've got figured here is a bigger one. These specifications are for a 14K and for a 20K. And your contract is for a 20K so that we can operate the fire station and the... After checking how you guys operate, probably... That building is more important than this one because the guys are over there, you know, probably more hours than they are here. This is here 40 hours open, and they're over there the rest of the week. So we'll be covering both of them. The generator will be outside here, and it will have a large transfer switch. And the next page shows the transfer switch you're going to have. It's a 400 amp. That's a very large transfer switch. And what that switch does is whenever there's a power outage, it shuts off the power so that the power cannot go back into the lines and the generator kicks on and starts furnishing the building. It does two things. At night, it will just furnish the building and furnish your power. During the day, it will furnish power, but since the solar is kicked in, it will just idle down. And the way solar systems work is they cannot legally continue to make power unless they feel power. That's for safety for the linemen. When the power goes down, they have to shut down so that the power doesn't go back into the lines, because it will. But with a transfer switch, the transfer switch will feel no power coming in. It shuts that switch off and kicks in the generator, brings power up. The minute the power comes up, the solar system opens up again because it feels power. And when the solar system starts sending power this way, then the generator idles down because there's no demand. And so most solar systems, it's ironic, but people own a big solar system, and during the day, they can have a power outage and they're without power. And for a home, it's too expensive to do a generator. That doesn't make sense, because power outages are so basically rare. But for somebody like a fire station, they got to have power. You know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so this equipment will set it up for you. The next few pages is information on that. And then we come to the proposal I've got for you. If you look at your old proposal, you were $203,000 for the system with the canopy, okay? And I was able to drop it to $193,000 because of my new supplier. And so this one stays. The main thing we want to look at is financing papers, but we can look at this. You're getting a few more panels. Before we were at 116 or something, we're up to 124. But we're getting, we're using 230 panels instead of a bigger panel. And before I had you at 28,500 watt system, now you're at 28,520. It's basically the same size system, 20 watts more. Okay, then it states here that we've got a natural gas backup generator with the transfer switch. And the other thing you want to make note of here, it says price does not include work from SSVEC to change wire size to make if needed. I don't think it'll be needed, but from where your meter is here, there's wires that go underground just a few feet over to the telephone pole. I talked to a gentleman that takes care of this area. Forget his name, it's in my notes somewhere. And he figures that the transformer would be okay the way it is. And if anything has to be changed, it'd be the wire from here to there. And it's already a conduit that it pulls out, pulls back in. And I don't know if we need it or not. When we do the engineering, that's another thing. When we do these systems, I design everything how I want it, but it goes to the engineers. The structural engineers, which is the people in Tucson, they will decide exactly how deep these holes have to be for the concrete, how thick they are, how much rebar, everything about it. They will design it once I give them the basic design that I want. And then they give me the engineered drawings. So everything is engineered. On the electrical, I state how much, everything about how I want the job to go, where I want to put the generator, where I'm putting everything, how I'm actually doing it. I kind of get my drawings up and send it to them. And then they engineer it and give engineering drawings for it. They will size the wire. They will tell me everything on how I'm supposed to do it. Then me and the electrician follow that drawing. Back to the proposal. The generator, and then it states again, one thing I might add, on the microinverters, it is the very best, in my opinion, the very best type of inverter that you can get. The inverter is the mechanism that changes the power from DC to AC. Your solar systems, by nature, produce DC power. And that's battery power. And we need to get AC. Once it goes through the inverter, it comes out that type of electricity you're using here. So, no different. It'll be 220 or 110, whichever you're using, single phase. And if you were three phase here at the building, these inverters will set up for three phase also. Because the way it was before, the other station was three phase. And I was set up to do this one in single phase, the other one three phase. Okay, one other thing about one of my last customers I installed for was very impressed because Sulphur Springs Valley went out to his house to inspect the system. They always do. But they let him know that the microinverter that I had was latest in technology for solar systems. And they can be used for homes or all the way up to commercial jobs. It doesn't matter what size it is. One thing that's not mentioned in the proposal, once we hook up to this thing, you will be able to track your solar system with your computer here in the office. You will bring up a screen that shows everything, shows all the panels and how they're, if one panel stops working, you'll be able to pick it, and I pick it up in my office. I had one customer last week that his went dark, and I went over to his house, nobody was home, and then we called them and said, hey, what's going on? He says, the system is producing, the guy must have gone out of town, turned off his computer, turned off his system. The solar was still producing, but the tracking mechanism was off. And so I thought in my office that he had a problem. Lucky he lived right around the corner. I didn't go over before him. But I was wondering why, because then that went on for a couple of days, and he hasn't called me, and Enphase will send me an email if one of my customers has a problem. That's what they say. They actually get on the phone and call me if they suspect something wrong. And so you're gonna like that on that part of it. Another thing is all this equipment is guaranteed. The warranty on it is 25 years. And the reason for that is all of it is solid state. There's not a lot to go wrong with this equipment. And so the warranty is for 25 years, and life expectancy goes on from there. This is something that's going to be on these furnishing power for these buildings for decades to come. Okay, so then it comes down to on the proposal. I've explained everything, the price, and this proposal is contingent on your financing. If we approve this, and my financing doesn't go through, then this is null and void. And then anyway, then these are the pages that are in that I want to explain. I start off with the first two are not what I think we want to do. We want to do the big one at 193, and I'll explain why. The first one is if you thought, well, we don't want to spend that much money, let's go with a lower cost system, just put a ground mount, like I showed you. I think we got other pictures of them. This would be a ground mount, okay? And this would do a lot for, it furnish just as much electricity. The only difference with this one would be there'd be no other use for it. It wouldn't provide. Right now, we're all been out there talking about shade for parking, shade for picnic areas, and the system can be split. We don't want them too far apart from each other. But on Monday, when I meet with my structural engineers, I will find out where I can split it and come back and tell you. We can have we're going to have approximately 104 feet of canopy to work with, and they will tell me where I can split it, and then you can decide. If you want all in one row, or if you want to split it a little bit. If I split it, all I have to do is dig a trench from one to the other. The split makes no difference, but there's only certain places I can't split. So, you know, I'll have to tell you where the split would be. Anyway, the main thing I'm showing you with these three options on the financing is that the big thing you want to look at is on a 20-year cash savings, The simple system, which costs a little bit less, will save you $75,000. And that's if electric rates only go up 1.3% per year. When you look at this chart here, the very first line above is your estimated cost of electricity. Right now for this building and that one, you're spending about $567 a month. And the records that I've got were for 3 years worth of record. So we're pretty that is accurate. And then the top line goes across, giving you approximately what your electric bills will be as time goes on. If rates stay at 1.3, I don't think they will. The next line tells you the utility cost increase. What we're doing is we're showing an increase of 25% of the national average, which is 1.3, I believe, is what we're calculating at. And The national average is 5.5 per year. Sulphur Springs is very good at holding the line, so I don't believe we'll ever be as much as national average, and I've talked to them about it, and what they've told me is as long as the government doesn't get in their way, they'll always hold the line better than other utilities. So we are with a very good utility. But what they told me is if there's government rules and regulations that they have to follow that increases price, then it'll drive the price up. But no matter what, the price of electricity, no matter who's furnishing it for us, is going to follow the price of gasoline. You go back 10 years, gasoline was probably about $1.80. Now you know where it's at. And what's it going to be 10 years from now? Okay, it's not going to be $3 or $4 a gallon. And electricity will follow. And if it goes up at that rate, probably this line here would go up a lot faster than that. The next line is your current utility cost. And then it goes into your average monthly use. And then the next one is your PBI. The PBI is the one that's $791. Okay, that PBI is the performance-based incentive. That is the money that the power company is paying for this system. They're going to pay you half the price of the system. So you go down a little ways and you see the $88,000. The system is $193,000. They're going to pay you half of that in PBI. So ultimately, you're only going to pay for half of it, and the savings on the $567 a month is going to take care of that. And this money that the power company is paying you is not what's coming out of their pocket. This is part of what the federal government did in order to make solar work, is they mandated the power companies to do certain things. One of them is they mandated them to come up with programs that help people, homeowners and businesses, to get into solar power so they can afford to buy it. Solar power would not be affordable if there wasn't any government help. It just wouldn't work. The other thing they did is they mandated the power companies to release it on the grid. Before, you could not send power into the grid for storage. They wouldn't allow it, but they finally got it done, and now we can send the power into the grid, which makes it real good, because the only way solar works efficiently is we have storage. You gotta have a place to put the power. You can't produce it all day long and then use it at night without storage from somewhere. The way they had to do it before was batteries. Well, batteries are an inefficient way to do it because you don't get all the power back out. You put the power in, you get a certain percentage back out. The other problem with batteries is you gotta replace them every 3 to 6 years. That's another problem. The other problem with batteries is there's other mechanisms that are semi-mechanical that operate this thing to tell it when to charge and when not to, and those are troublesome. When we do different functions where we talk to people about solar, when we ask people if they're interested in solar, a lot of them already have it. And we always say, good, let me talk to you. How do you like it? 100% of the people have this style a solar system are happy with it. Pretty close to 100% of the ones that have batteries are unhappy with it. And the only people that deal with the batteries are the ones that have to, if they're totally off the grid. And I have a lot of customers that want to be, regardless of whether they're on the grid or not, they want to be able to produce even when the power's down. And that's when I turn them onto a generator. I've proven it. I've had one customer dead set on battery. I went along with him. I kept, giving him all his information on batteries and pricing, but at the same time, I gave him all his information on price of generator. And without me saying anything, he by himself said, no, I want a generator. I just gave him the information. He made his own decision. Batteries are not a good thing. And you're not going to have any batteries. You're going to be strictly generating. Coming down the list here, back to the PBI. The government mandated that. Okay, two things they did that make solar work so well. They mandated them to release the tie on the grid, so now we have a storage bank. We can actually, when I have a customer that uses a lot of power in the summer, which is very common for their cooling, I don't have to size the solar system for that demand. I just size it for what their demand is year-round. And then in the summer, or to start with the fall. In the fall, the system is producing much more than they need. It's going into the grid. It goes into the grid from September, October, November, all the way through to June. It's going into the grid, and the meter that we have out here will be a new meter that you're going to get that turns backwards. And that meter will start recording all the extra kilowatts that is going into the grid, and you're banking your electricity all year round. Come June, then it goes the other way, and they start pulling the power back out of the grid. Start pulling the power back out of the grid, using it all summer long, and it balances out. Then at the end of September, they what they call true up. Then they knock it down to zero. Whatever extra kilowatts are there, they pay you for it. Now, I try to size my systems to where there is not a big payment there. If you have a big payment there, that means I sold you too much solar. So you should come out with a small check there. That check doesn't even reflect into this. It's not going to be big enough to make any difference. The check that makes a difference is the PVI. On top of that meter that they're going to replace that runs backwards, I'm going to set another one there that comes directly from the solar system before it goes into any of the electrical components here. I'm going to go through another meter that's going to keep track of your production. It runs one way, everything you're producing. And that thing sends a signal to the power company and keeps track of how much you produce. And they're going to pay you 18.2 cents per each kilowatt that it produces. And that's going to amount to about, you're real close to $800. I've tagged on here 791. I'm being a little bit conservative. And I think it'll produce closer to 800. And now that money that they're sending you is the other part of the thing that the federal government mandated the power companies. They mandated them to set up systems to help people afford these. And one of the systems that most power companies did was they started sending on their bill, they charge everybody. And so every one of us that's an SNVC, if you look at your bill, you'll see ACC environmental something. And then it's about $3, $4, $5. For this bill, it's probably closer to 10. But everybody pays according to how much electricity they use. And that's where the power company gets the money. So they're not taking money out of their pocket. They're taking money from all of the members of the co-op. It goes into one pot. And the same thing for every utility. And then that's how they pay for this. I've calculated the loan payment to be about $1,261, and I'll explain more about the loan when I get to the last one, because that's the one we're going to deal with. The next line is your PVI. It's capped at 50%, $88,000, and that's half of your system. On this one here, it's half the system when you're at $176,000. One of the reasons, and what I'm trying to show here, is that you're making a good decision on going with a canopy, because this system here with the ground mounted is less money, but so is your PVI. Your PVI for this one's only $88,000. When we go back to the back page and you look at your PVI cap, on the other one's $96,500. Okay? So when you're doing this, when you decided you wanted to spend a little more to get the canopies, half of it's being taken care of. Okay. And then the other lines are your cash impact monthly. In other words, the bottom line shows that you're ahead of the game by $97 per month in the first year. The second year, you're ahead of $172 per month. And then the following year, $173. And then the very bottom line shows how much you're accumulating. After the first year, you're going to accumulate with this particular system here, $1,100, and it keeps going up to where at about the ninth year, you're up to $18,000 accumulated. If you set up a separate account for this thing, and you need to do that because there is a point where you're going to need some of that money to put back into it, and I'll show you when that happens. But anyhow, I'll leave this one here alone. This is the one that you don't want anyway. The next one, of course, we always know that when we're buying something, if you want to put some down payment on it, it makes the payment easier. Well, what I did is we came with this one at $189,000, showing you putting $4,000 down on the system. And the point we're making here if you did put $4,000 down, your payment would be almost the same. The first year, you would have no red. In this area here, you got no red. Everywhere you see red is where you're putting money out. And the only place you put money out on this one is in the 11th year, and I'll explain that later. The reason that happens is because that's when your PBI ends. They stop making payments on that. They've already paid for half of it, and they stop. And after that, the system has to take over on its own, and it will. Okay, so now we're going to jump into the last page. And, okay, the first thing I'm showing you is that you do show a little bit of red up front. Okay? It amounts to about $300 the first year. But the point I'm making is you're better off letting it go in the red for $300 than making a down payment of $4,000. Okay? And then the other thing that we want to keep an eye on, when you get down to the 11th year, either way you have a little bit of red ink. Okay? But this we really should consider red because you make up the difference for it with the money that you have accumulated over that time. And then it keeps on going. At the end of 20 years, you will have had a cash savings of almost $70,000, okay? It probably will be $70,000, but some of the stuff up here is very conservative, especially the electric bill. It's probably going to go up. So you can probably, for sure, be higher. But if things all follow this chart, you'll be real close to $70,000. Now, when you go back and look at the others, there's not that much difference. The one with a down payment, you only end up at $71,000. Okay? So that's not a big difference. You're better off holding on to your $4,000. Do not put a down payment. Let it go into the red ink a little bit for $300 the first year, and then it carries over about the same. And then when you look at the lower price system, it's only at 75, okay? And doesn't give you a second use. So I did give you some choices here. You can pick the one you want, but I can see where, in my opinion, the best one is a canopy that you were wanting. Now, the other thing that I've done is I've talked to National Bank. I've talked to National Bank about this project, and they like doing business with fire districts. Okay, they've had good luck with them, and they like it. He gave me a packet to give to you. This is for you to keep. He gave me an application for you to fill out. And he said, "I don't need a lot of information from a fire district. All I need is 3 years financials. Fill this out." And I called him today before I came to ask him, because I actually took care of this model here at the rate that he told me he would for sure be able to take care of you. He says about 6% is, and that's a very good rate. Because I talked to my banker at Wells Fargo, and he was talking 8 or 9. I said, "You can't get down to 6? He said, "Well, if I've got a real, real good, powerful customer, we might be able to get closer." But these guys right off the bat, they're liking the fire district at 6%. And what he told me today is he might be able to do better. It just depends on where interest rates are the day you walk in. So it's not impossible to get a little better. And once I know what that is, I can throw that on our computer and come up with another model here. It'll show exactly where you're at. Once he tells you the interest rate. Okay? So this I'll leave with you. He's in Sierra Vista. If you may have another bank you want to deal with, that's fine, but I just want to have an option for you. If you don't have any other options, I know this would be a good one. He's used to dealing with fire districts, and he's in Sierra Vista. There's other national banks around, but the one that handles the commercial for Southern Arizona is the one that's in Sierra Vista. So I'll leave this here with you, and then I'll leave a few extra cards. The other thing we talked about out there was on splitting the system or changing it around. Originally, I was thinking of putting it across there. The more of the system that we have going east and west, the better it is to like tilt the panels up, like tilt the canopy. If you notice on the second page here, the canopy is kind of tilted. It won't be tilted at this angle. It's going to be a little flatter to get us more headroom underneath here. But so it'll be a little more efficient, whatever's going east and west. But I can put them north and south, and then I just leave them flatter, and they will operate fine. There's a lot of them that are that way.
So east and west just gives more sunlight.
Well, what happens is it's a little more accurate when I tilt it like this. South is this way down here. If I tilt it like this, it's a little more accurate, but if it's flat, it's going to do it. When that sun is up here, it's doing it all. Okay? And so it's not, it's going to work fine. What I would do is I would decide to go whatever's more practical for you as far as how do you want to use your canopy. And anything you want to do out in this area here or out there is fine with me if you want to split it. It doesn't cause me a lot of headache because all I do is wherever you split it, the wiring that comes from that canopy, I drop into the ground, go over to the other one, back up, and continue. It's got to be a path of electricity from the farthest collector all the way until I get over to the panel over here.
So we're talking about basically 31 yards of...
Yes, you are. It's going to exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be 103 or 104 feet, and I'll get you exact. I can get you exact measurements on Monday. The engineer that I work with he works all over the world, and he'll be back in Tucson on Monday, and that's what I plan on seeing, getting this thing designed just the way he wants it. You got a question, sir?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
With the red numbers here starting year 11, how come they're not red from 11 to 20? Can we look at it? Because this shows for a 20-year payment of 1383. These should all be red numbers.
All the way across? No, not necessarily. But what happens? Let me call my general manager.
The PPI, or PBI stops. So we get nothing back, so this all has to be red numbers. Which means the system's going to cost us $8,000 a year for 10 years.
Just a minute. My expert at this program, my general manager, I think can answer it right away.
Okay.
While he's doing that, Tim and Bill, I had talked to Rebel and Fino and Mr. Gomez a little bit and said, well, why instead of putting the units in the back of the quarters, why not bring them towards the front so we can use them for parking instead of putting them towards the back? And then that way we can feel that they're a little bit more safer being between the two buildings instead of out in the corner.
Out of sight, out of mind, which is
well,
good.
If we do it out here, it would be some would be shade. Firemen to use for picnic tables, parking their cars, and then another part of it could flow across into the park, which would utilize the public to use it.
But again, it's only 31 yards. It's only 31 yards.
20 feet.
You know, so
50 feet that way, 50 feet this way. How do you want to split it up?
If you think about it, that's not a whole lot. What's the length of this? 30 feet, Tim? 40?
Okay, I'm here in the meeting. One of the gentlemen has a question on the last page. And we hit the red ink, and then, of course, we know that the savings from year one up to year 10 takes care of it. And then it takes off again and keeps getting, and it stays black after that. He feels it should still stay red because we lost the PBI. And when we...
That payment doesn't stop.
Because the payment stays $1,350 all the way, doesn't it?
Well, $1,383.
Looks like it's paid for.
But what
in year 11.
But it doesn't here. Read here, it says 240 payments. 20 years. Unless that's financed at 10 years, that's great. That's just my question.
You still there?
Oh. But here it says 20 years.
Okay, very good. Okay, he's going to look it up on his computer.
Maybe
at $1,383 a month, that's $17,000. That's $170,000 should be paid for. Otherwise, it draws it out longer and payments last per month. Then you start making more money in the beginning.
Well, I can check it out. I got the amortization schedule on my computer. I can punch it out and see exactly what it would be and where it ends up. It's 6%.
Well, one thing about it, on the proposal I'm giving you, And all of this would have to go to the banker and you know, thrashed out on financing.
Right.
But the one thing that I'm saying here is that all of this contingent on financing approval.
Right.
If we look at this thing and say, yes, this is what we want, we'll figure out how it's going to work. And that gives us time for me to kick things in gear for you. When I talked to the banker today, he said, after they bring this in, the paperwork in, which there's not a lot of paperwork to fill out, he says it'll take him about a week to approve it, and then he said it'll take about closer to a month to get it where they can fund it because of the appraisal they're going to have to get. Well, between now and the next month, if things don't pencil out, then this thing is null and void. There's no gamble on this thing here. Because it all has to, between you and your banker and everybody, we've got to make it pencil out. And then what I propose to do is, once the loan is tentatively approved and they're waiting for the appraisal, I want to get engineering started and electrical and mechanical, and get the design on it going, so that once the loan is completely approved and you guys sign off on this thing going forward, then everything's ready to go and there's no holdup. Otherwise, we're going to have a holdup of another month, and I'd like to see this thing finished in November or December.
Okay.
And I think we can do it if we move forward soon.
Looking at the calculations, if you calculate 240 monthly payments at $1,380 for 20 years, the way it's listed, I come up with $331,920.
Well, like I say, I'll just put it on my amortization bill when I get home.
Well, the loan amount's not going to be $193,000 anyway. It's going to be less than that because SSVEC is paying for $96,500 of it. So
no, they're going to pay us back monthly.
Okay. So it is $193,000.
Right. They're going to pay us back monthly.
So that $300, if it's for 20 years.
We're going to run home and I can be back in 5 minutes with that. Print it out and show you exactly what it is. Yeah.
Well, you can grab on the computer right here and do the same thing.
I don't
thing.
Think that got an amortization. I don't know where it would be.
No,
I got mine set up.
All you do is Google it.
Right back.
That'll work. Amortization puts you right in there.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a couple of questions?
Sure. Go ahead.
Because I didn't get the answer. At the last meeting, we had talked about a possible grant. So I take it that we found out for sure that we don't qualify for that grant, correct?
Possible grant, but it still pencils out because we're paying for half of it. And between that paying for half of it and
you said you're going to run.
And then the savings on the electricity.
And the other question I have is, I kind of heard out of the corner of my ear while I was looking through this, is you were talking about three phase. How difficult would it be to put three phase in this building?
I mean,
I don't think you have to be paid right now.
We don't. That's why I have my air compressor unit at another station.
In other words, you would like to make
a decision.
What is the time to do it?
AMM?
AMORI?
I don't know. One thing that is going to happen is we're going to be, I'm going to be doing this this contract for you, and there'll be an electrical concept working on it, and he could actually contract you separately to do that switching. And since we're doing all this work, this would be the time to do it, because I could actually set it up to where the panels produce three-phase power.
It'll come up with it, even if you misspell it.
Well, Rebel, you're the electrician, man. What are your thoughts? I mean, to me, it's kind of useless having our SCBA unit way over there when we're all right here.
You
couldn't put it here because it was loaded as a three-phase.
That's definitely something we need to look into it.
Yeah.
See what the cost, the difference in cost would be.
If you have a more efficient unit over to the station.
Well, it's
three-phase.
It's a compressor that fills our SCBA box. We got it at that station because that has to be based on this.
Oh, you know. And it's important to fill those bottles. So you have to put
it out. You have to drive all the way out there.
Oh, no. You don't want to be doing that.
Full amount.
Yeah. I would.
$193,000.
Once this process gets into motion, I would. How would I word it? Contract with him separately. And have him give you the quote on
whatever
it takes.
Okay. So will that 12 years what SSVC would charge for the upgrade?
Well, we might end up having to do some work from SSVC anyway. Right. You see what I mean? Because the electrician told me that it's possible. And the reason that it might happen is because right now you're furnishing this building where the wires are coming here. Okay. And you're furnishing that building with the wires that are going there.
Here we go.
Well, what's going to happen, we're going to kill that service. Just totally take it out. So then you're going to start furnishing both buildings with the one service. So once we do that, it's possible that if when they put this in, they put it in barely enough to do this building, there won't be any left over for the other one. That's not such a big building.
Yeah, 331-848-94.
Probably we're okay.
331-948.
That is the reason that it's a possibility. We'll need that. What's going to happen is all of the
monthly payment $1,382.72.
And then,
so Tim's right. And then it should all of them out of here.
The system has to be ready for it to be able to take over.
This, but what about this?
The second cloudy day and at night.
All the lines
should
be ready.
It has to furnish all the power for everybody.
Well,
normally it's using power kilowatts that you've already put in there.
If you've got this 1383 going clear on out.
It has to be able, everything has to be sized like a sword didn't exist. At night it's like a sword didn't exist.
Positive 650.
And you still have to, you push the power back in there. So when it comes back, it'll be free.
See, the payment doesn't end here.
But it still has to be sized. So that could happen. And then once the power goes in here, the solar system will feed this system, and then it'll feed back to the, then we run another wire back.
There's no way that it can. That 1383 has to go on out.
Yeah. It's going to totally kill that meter.
Okay.
And you're saying that these panels that you're going to currently use will handle the
process.
Frank, it says a monthly loan payment on here, and it stops at year 11, but it's a 20-year term. Mm-hmm. Correct. What is that 13 3?
I don't know. That's why I call my general manager. He's a computer guru.
And is he going to get back to you? Did he say?
Yeah, he's going to call me right back.
Okay, we're just trying to figure out why that would stop at year 11. Is that the way with all of them? Yeah.
I think those numbers come from when you get the grant.
Well, let's see, on the payouts that was listed here. Thank you.
do you have another set of
yes.
friends? We got one board member that's not present. Make sure that we get it to her. Thank you.
To go ahead and call a brief recess. We're going to have a brief recess.
And we'll reconvene when Mr. Heine gets back.